Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Cargill Incorporated today says that its processing plant in eastern Ukraine has been seized by armed individuals amid escalating violence. No Cargill employees are present at the facility, which produces sunflower oil and meal. The occupation comes as pro-Russian separatists have ceded ground to government troops amid ongoing skirmishes for control of eastern Ukraine cities. Conagra Foods today announced that it has acquired Taimei Potato Industry Limited, a potato processor in Inner Mongolia, for $93 million. This acquisition expands Conagra Foods' Lamb Weston operations in a market that has growing demand for frozen potato products. Swiss chocolate maker Lindt says it is buying U.S. manufacturer Russell Stover Candies Incorporated for an undisclosed sum. Russell Stover, which also owns the Whitman's brand, is based in Kansas City, Missouri, and it has four factories in Kansas, Texas, and Colorado. It has about 2,700 employees and annual sales of around $500 million. When the deal closes, Lindt will be the third biggest chocolate maker in the U.S. behind Hershey Company and privately held Mars Incorporated Mintel Group. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,978. It's up 97 points. The NASDAQ 39.13, up 16. The S&P 500 is 1971, and it is up 8.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's forecast for the Midwest is a cool one. As you are well aware, I'm sure that the cold air mass moved into the region over the weekend, and it will continue to push southward through the heart of the U.S. corn and soybean production region as we go through the next few days. The temperatures will get quite chilly at night, with lows in the 40s likely from portions of Iowa, northern Illinois, and Michigan northward. We'll likely see 50-degree readings at night in the lower parts of the Midwest. The cooler weather will stop some of the corn development for a little while, or at least slow it down, and degree day accumulations are expected to back off just a bit as well. And because of that, we may see maybe just a little bit of a later maturity date in the autumn, but this is just one incident and it's only a few days. The concern is that perhaps a little later this summer, we may see some other bouts of cool weather, and we're already behind on our degree day accumulations in portions of the upper Midwest. The lower eastern portions of the Midwest are actually a little bit ahead of the usual amount of degree day accumulations, and hence the more quick crop maturation rates that have been evolving here in recent weeks. The cooler weather will slow that down, but it's not likely to reverse it or cause any kind of serious change in the overall bottom line, which is still very good. Most of the Midwest is expected to see ongoing dry weather this week. There will be some rain in the southernmost parts of the Midwest near the Ohio River, probably the best rainfall there, and there will be some other showers that will scatter around. I don't want to make it sound like it's completely dry, but what precipitation does occur in the northwest and central portions of the Midwest will likely be insignificant relative to evaporation, and net drying conditions will probably take place. The majority of the weather will likely stay favorable as we get into the weekend, early part of next week. The biggest difference that will occur during that period of time will be warming temperatures across the region. There will be a large amount of rainfall occurring across the southern states. States, and I think eventually some of that will work its way across some of the lowermost parts of the Midwest. Most of that precipitation is not likely to be real dramatically great, but portions of the lower Mississippi River Basin and the southeastern states, as well as a portion of the west central and interior southern U.S. plains, will likely get a fair amount of rainfall that will likely stall field work and saturate the soil in some cases. The precipitation will be most significant near and south of the Ohio River and focus primarily on the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin, as well as parts of the southeastern states, and then from portions of north central Texas and Oklahoma back to eastern Colorado. Some of the winter wheat production areas in the central plains will once again be hit by some significant rainfall, but the majority of that crop has been harvested, and what's left out there is going to be somewhat vulnerable to a bit of a decline in crop quality and conditions. And we'll probably see this most significant in Colorado and western Kansas, where the most crop is still left to be harvested. The forecast temperatures for the afternoons are going to be mostly in the 60s and 70s across the heart of the Midwest here for the first couple of days this week. We'll start seeing some moderation in the cool air mass after that. 70s will be common during the balance of the work week, and we'll look for some 80-degree temperatures returning as we move toward the weekend and into the first part of next week. There will also be a few lower 80s today in the lower parts of the Midwest, where the cool air has not fully settled in yet. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is not trading in the moment. Nobody is buying it. Nobody is selling it. September, though, is at 638, up 1 3/4. Soft July, 516 1/4, up 1 1/2. September is 528 1/2. Now 3/4, up 2 3/4. July corn, 398 1/2, down 1 1/4. December, 383, down 1 3/4. Let's go to July 15. It's 409 1/2, down 2 1/4. July soybeans, 1307 3/4, up 12. September, 1106 3/4, up 7 1/2. November, 1083 1/4, up 8 1/4. July soybean meal, 419, down 280. July soybean oil, 3664, down 7 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis, and he is with MITCO out of Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Soybeans, a little bit into the green today. Is that all about cooler weather?
Yeah, I think there's a little impact there. I think also due for a little bounce here. I think the commitment of traders report showed that, you know, funds are a little bit short on the soybeans and the wheat, so I think we're seeing a little short covering there. Not so much in the corn here this morning. Tried to have a little bounce here this morning, but these early bounces have been pretty short-lived. I think we saw corn try the upside almost every day last week on the early morning, and then once the 8:30 session started, it started to drift lower. But, yeah, I think some wet weather around over the weekend once again, and I think beans would prefer it a little bit on the warmer, drier side, Dave.
Do you think that non-commercials and the soybeans are going to go net short in the next week or two?
Maybe hard to pinpoint it in the next week or two. I think if the growing conditions as we go into August continue to look favorable, I think that short position is going to grow here as we move forward. I think with the ending stocks forecast moving forward, it's going to be too hard for the temptation not to try to continue to sell this market the way it looks. But a lot of water under the bridge here, so to speak, here as we move forward, because, as you know, be pretty sensitive to the weather forecast here as we move into August here on the bean side, Dave.
On the corn side, though, your non-commercials on the latest report stood at 123,692 net longs, and actually went up by just over 3,000. Why are non-commercials not as buying concerned or buying into the argument about the conditions of the corn crop and following suit with the beans?
Well, I think there's some demand talk there that I think maybe we're seeing some increased talk and maybe some demand picking up here a little bit. But I think that's what's the concerning side on the corn as far as putting in a bottom here is the fact that the fund's still got some length they can shed. And it's not like we're sitting here after this sharp $1.35 break since the first part of May and the funds have a large net short position. We can use them to help bounce this market out of here. So I think as we go forward here, that's going to be something to watch here to see if the funds decide to liquidate some of this. That could mean some downside is still more possible here as we move forward.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Have a good day, Dave. Bye.
Aaron Curtis of Midco, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. Hard red winter July wheat, like I would say, not trading, but the September 638 now is up 1 3/4. Soft July, 516 1/4, up 1.5. September is 529, up 3. July corn is 398, down 1 3/4. December, 383 3/4, down 1. July soybeans, 1307 3/4, up 12. November, 1082 3/4, up 7 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.